Hello, and I'd like to officially welcome everyone to tonight's Wednesday Purium Health Products Consumer Education Conference Call Series. My name is Amy. I'll be your moderator tonight, and we have with us David Sandoval, who is one of the owners and founders of Purium Health Products. Dave, are you with us on the line tonight?
I am.
Awesome. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight, we are taking a little bit of a different approach than we normally do. We are talking about the other members of our family. We are usually always talking about our kids or, you know, our husbands or our wives or maybe our parents. But tonight, we're talking about the other member of the family that we love equally as much, and that would be our pets, our dogs, our cats, our horses. And those members of our family are often forgotten about when it comes to health and nutrition. We take our dogs or our cats in for maybe vaccinations or a yearly checkup, if that, and that's pretty much it. We give them food and water and love and attention, and we just think that, you know, they're gonna live out their life. But what we don't realize is that we may be drastically reducing their lifespan by what we're feeding them. Many of the over-the-counter or many of the foods that we purchase at the pet store or we purchase at the grocery store are completely grain-based. And as far as I know, animals in the wild, especially dogs and cats, aren't really heavy grain eaters. So it seems kind of interesting what we're feeding our dogs or what society is telling us or putting out there to feed our dogs and how that correlates with their degenerative diseases that they're coming down with in recent years and their shortened lifespan. So I know that you want to highlight all those things tonight. So I just think it's really great that we're dedicating this time to talk about those sometimes forgotten members of the family, especially when it comes to health and nutrition.
Absolutely. Thank you. I was saying or thinking earlier that, you know, there is a tremendous amount of companionship and a tremendous amount of love and a tremendous amount of reason to get up in the morning that comes from a pet. And I was musing that, you know, our kids grow up and our spouses or significant others can take care of themselves, although we may want to, you know, pamper them once in a while. But, you know, when you have an animal, that is true responsibility. That's why children get animals for their children, to begin to teach them responsibility. When they see whether a mom would be a good mom, they first see how they would care for something inanimate and then something alive, like a fish or a dog or a cat is a good way to see as well. Because if you have to feed it every day, you have to wash it and groom it, you have to, not daily, but you need to walk it and exercise them daily. You need to care for them, make sure that they're safe and this is a serious responsibility, and it has rewards, and those rewards are, as I said, dedication and companionship, protection, affection, and things of that nature. And so we do love our animals, and rightfully so. And so it was really surprising, it was not surprising to me, to find out that animals rarely live as long as they possibly could. But what really surprises both Amy and I is that, you know, veterinarians are not more dedicated to increasing the longevity of pets. And that really surprises me. If I were a veterinarian, it would probably be in my best interest to care for the pets, because the older they are, the more endearing they are to us. And so, you know, to add a few extra years to the life of an animal might be great. So, Amy, do you know about Bluey, the Australian cattle dog?
Yeah, Bluey, the Australian cattle dog, is purported to be the oldest living dog in history and living to 29 and a half years old.
Almost 30 years old.
Almost 30 years old when he passed away.
So when I stand up in front of people and I tell them that, did you know that dogs could live to be, you know, 25 to 30 years old, people always say, wow, you know, that's crazy. Now, I'm going to tell you what the average life of these animals are, but and you're from Texas, so you might have heard of cream puff, right? Do you know
Cream
about
Puff?
Cream Puff?
Is Cream Puff the oldest cat?
Yeah, Cream Puff's the oldest living cat, at least they say. And I know there's some dispute, but they say 38th birthday in August of 2005. And that was when this was taken. And, you know, Cream Puff hasn't perished just yet, from my knowledge, but maybe she has. But 38 still, you know, that is kicking. Even with 9 lives, that's still doing pretty good.
Exactly.
you could say that there was a on record Puss, who was born in 1903, owned by Mrs. T. Holloway of Devon, and she passed away on her 29th birthday. And Devon passed away on the 29th of November, one day after his 36th birthday. So we got at least a 36 and a 39-year-old cat. And so that's pretty crazy. Now, you had some information about our third category, which is horses, that was just absolutely astounding. Do you want to tell people what the oldest living horse on record is?
Yeah, in the Guinness Book of World Records, the oldest living horse was 62 years of age when he passed. So
wow.
That's pretty amazing, I thought.
I think that's pretty incredible. Now, let's do some contrasting. Let's take, you know, first our dogs with an average age of 12, and then we have our cats with an average age of 14, so 12 to 29. Oldest that we know, 29, and the average 12. So we know the potential is at least 29, and the average is 12. We know the potential is at least 33 with cats, the average is 14. We know the potential is at least 62 with horses, and the average is 28. And what we see here is that all of these averages are just below half. Now, if you take a moment and remember that I believe her name was Jean-Marie Colment, a French woman, and she lived to be, I believe, 122 to 126 years old, depending upon which records you believe. And so now we see that, you know, humans typically live between 60 and 70, which is a little bit above 50% of our known potential, but not that much above it. So animals don't have as much, you know, ability to make individual choices. They're always fed what we give them. But I could guarantee you this, that if they did have the ability, they would probably do better by themselves than we've done for them. Amy, do you mind if I tell the story about monkeys and their longevity?
No, go right ahead.
Because it was back in the 1900s that a group of Japanese scientists were studying the longevity of primates, because they're close to humans, monkeys, and they noted that the monkeys in the zoos were living to be 26, 30 years old, but they noticed the monkeys in the wild averaged 12 years old. And what they figured out is that the monkeys in the zoos always got fresh, washed produce and fruit, right? But the monkeys in the wild got produce that had fallen or was part of the ground and had dirt on it. And that dirt, when they chewed, would, like sandpaper, slowly erode their teeth. Over the course of 12 years, it eroded their teeth so much to where the teeth would rot and fall out. And then they couldn't chew at all, so they would die of malnutrition for lack of being able to chew food properly. And there's a lesson there about us chewing our food properly, but that's for another time. The bottom line is that we could see across the board that sometimes, you know, it works against the animal to be in captivity in a way, and sometimes it may work for it, but when an animal fails to continue to get the foods that nourish its cells best, then it will suffer an early death, and that is something that is indisputable. So, Amy, I think that we can make a pretty good case that if a dog doesn't die from malnutrition, because it is getting poor foodstuffs, nothing like it would eat on its own in the wild, or if it were fed a perfect diet. What is another potential reason, and one that you and I discussed, I know, many times, why dogs and cats and even horses might end up with tumors and diseases of the organs and ultimately diabetes, like the gentleman who had his dear pet die of animal diabetes? What's another reason?
Well, it's toxicity, not being able to, you know, purge the amount of toxins that the animal is consuming.
Now, how many people filter their dog's water, do you think, Amy?
How many? Not a lot. I mean, not a lot. It seems like a luxury.
But do we drink tap water?
Most people choose not to drink tap water, but most people fill up their animal's dish right from the tap.
Uh-huh. And you know how many chemicals are on lawns these days, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And what do dogs like to do when they're walking?
They like to sniff everything.
Yeah, they sniff everything, right?
Uh-huh.
You know what's crazy, Amy? In nature, you know, animals drag their noses on grass. So you can see all the animals doing it. Do you know why?
I think it's to...
I know you know the answer.
To get the oxygen that's
exactly.
coming off from photosynthesis of the chlorophyll in the grass.
That's right. Green plants produce oxygen. Animals love a nice, deep breath of oxygen. So they bury their nose in the grass and they drag their nose. And in doing so, they free up all the oxygen that's trapped underneath the leaves of the grass. And they inhale real deeply. Now, what if those grass leaves are covered with chemicals?
Well, they're inhaling the chemicals versus a nice fresh oxygen.
And what are the greenest, most beautiful lawns? Those are the ones without chemicals, right?
Unfortunately, no.
Exactly. And where do we take our dogs? To the greenest, bestest lawns, right?
Exactly.
Not lawns, but areas of grass.
Exactly. It's much nicer for us to walk along the park with the nice fertilized grass than in a field with weeds and, you know, in dead patches.
That's right. Pesticides, herbicides, artificial chemicals. And as you know, and this is my sad story, is my dog Bruno ate snail bait and died of poisoning. I don't know if you heard, but there's a... there's so many dogs and cats that have died because they're putting this chemical mixed with fish meal. And the dogs and cats love, like, fish, right? And so the dogs and cats are eating this chemicalized fish meal and dying. And the company that makes it, and I'm not going to mention their name because we don't need a lawsuit, has refused to take it off the market, and it is sold at the big box stores. And this is a chemical fertilizer that is supposed to be all natural. All natural chemical fertilizer you sprinkle on your lawn. But unfortunately, the dogs go around the taps and they lick the lawn because they like the taste and they get all that chemical and they die. So we've got problems with malnutrition and toxicity. But the good news is that we think we also have some answers, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So why don't we talk about, instead of just the negative, because we all live in areas where people use fertilizers and chemicals in and around the parks and lawns and things like that, and they don't always put a big sign out, don't walk here.
That's right.
Don't walk your dog here. Although, in my neighborhood, there is a couple of condominium complexes that do have signs up and says this grass is chemically treated. You may want to walk your dog on the other side of the street.
That's good.
Which is great. They probably just don't want poop on their lawn, but I think it's great because I take Maggie directly to the other side of the street.
Oh, I bet the neighbors across the street love it.
Probably. But let's get back to talking about, is there anything that you can do to help your animal with the two things that you talked about that lead to degenerative diseases and premature aging and early death, if you will, which were malnutrition and overtoxicity?
Okay, well, let's take them one at a time. With cats, you have to be very careful to control their environment. Cats love to claw at carpet and other cloth items that are covered with chemicals. So you have to be very careful that that you outgas these things and that you have them cleaned and that you dechemicalize them as much as you possibly can. Cats also, they really do need to have, more wild time than they get. The cats are some of the most vulnerable because when they're out, they're not supervised, typically. And if they're not out, then they're staying in and they're not exercised properly. So they're sort of getting it both ways. And the good news is that once you have satisfied the cat's innate need chemically at the nutritional level, then they calm down. And so our great stuff for cats, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, is great for that. Now, it's great stuff for that. Now, dogs' problem is that they forage as well, and they'll eat just about anything And if they find it, you got to be careful because they're going to be eating it. But mostly for dogs, we're worried about the chemicals, not just in the food, but in their environment and in the shampoos that are used and in those types of things. So detox, find safe runs for the dogs and the horses. That was my point. Find safe play areas for the dogs, the cats, and the horses. And that's advice number one. I think, Amy, just like humans, our second piece of advice sort of has a lot to do with the advice we give humans too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that is don't overfeed or don't overeat because a lot of our animals are obese.
They're free feeding, is that what they call it?
Uh-huh, they call it, yes, exactly, where you just put the food in the dish and leave it all day long. And so the dog, you know, eats whenever it thinks it's hungry or whenever it's bored. Just like
it's like having a box of chocolates on your desk.
Exactly, and that's so dangerous.
So, I mean, that is crazy, isn't it? Imagine if we just had food in front of us 24/7.
Oh, exactly.
So we shouldn't restrict our animals' water intake. And so when they're hungry and they walk over to the food dish, they move over to, and it's empty, what do? They take a drink of water. So, you know, animals, they're going to put something in their stomach. But the bottom line is that when they're satisfied nutritionally, they don't need to eat as much anyway. So when you overfeed an animal, it leads to tumors because the organs of the body can't process all of the food as much as we think it can, especially their kidneys. Just like humans, they get too much, and then they get overburdened, and then they get toxic, and then they back up, and then they spill over their toxicity, and you have this auto-intoxication happening within your animal, and you can look at their eyes, and they look glassy, and you're like, wow, you know. So don't overfeed your animal. And another thing is, like humans, they need a little bit of break from the food. So, like, maybe take away the food, like, at 8 o'clock at night and don't put it back until first thing in the morning. And then they have that 10 to 12 hours of fasting. And maybe the first thing you could give them is something that will really help to nourish and detoxify them.
Exactly. I was reading an article online that said that also many degenerative or many diseases are mistakenly diagnosed when the animal is just overtoxic, like you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
Or severely toxic, that veterinarians misdiagnose this all the time, and they diagnose the dog with, you know, some disease and then start treatment for some disease when really it's just their systems are just completely overburdened with these toxic substances.
Now, would you feed your family fast food every night?
No, absolutely not.
Would you let a stranger prepare food for the people you love all the time?
No.
Because we always at least try to make some homemade meals for the people we love, right?
Right.
Well, why don't more people try to do that for their animals? So do you mind if I take a minute and give some advice about some really good homemade meals you could make for your animals?
I think that'd be great.
Okay. Well, obviously, the first thing is, like, when you eat salmon or you eat fish, if you don't like the skin or you don't like the outer parts, save those for your dog. Those are fantastic for your dog. Dogs process fat a lot better than we do. They don't worry about cholesterol, but good fats are still important. And so I would say if you're going to give your dog any table scraps, the only ones that are approved are steamed vegetables and your oily fish residue. So those are things that are really good, and you can mix them together. Sort of take your salmon skin and some of the fatty parts that, even though they're good for us, a lot of times we don't eat 100% of it. Take that, some of the scrapings from the pan where it was cooked, as long as there's not a lot of garlic and onions and things that might upset their stomach, and take that, mix it in with some carrots, mix it in with some broccoli, mix it in with some cauliflower, and they're going to love the oily taste from the fish, and they're going to eat the vegetables, which are so nutritious and good with fiber, and great for bulking up and making them feel full, loaded with nutrients, and they get all that good fat from the oily fish, and that's a great little homemade meal. Now, we've done some other things for animals over the years. Do you remember some of the recipes we gave to the animals that had like some of the ways advice we gave to the animals that had tumors and things?
Well, I know we gave them raw eggs.
Like semi-cooked, right?
Like semi-cooked, right, eggs. And that's like the free-range eggs or organic eggs were very good. Also, some semi-cooked or partially cooked meat, because obviously these animals, especially, you know, dogs and cats, are carnivores. They do, in the wild, enjoy their meat.
And I like cooking boneless thighs for the dogs. I like cooking fish more for the cats. And again, I only cook it 1/2 to 3/4. And let them have some raw meat energy, because it really does energize them. After your animal eats raw meat, it will express a lot of energy and exuberance just for a very short period of time. And that's its way of celebrating and thanking you, you could say. and those eggs, remember, cooked 1/2 to 3/4. Better to have the whites cooked but the yolk runny, and that's just the way I like them too. This is a good thing for the dogs. And if you want to add something healthy, a little bit of coconut oil wouldn't be a bad thing either. But those healthy foods to give your animal, and remember that after you've given your animal some meat, that animal, there are some side effects. There you might see a change in their stool. Or something like that. So be sure that after they've eaten the meat, that the next meal is a fiber meal, and that will be very important in help keeping and regulating their digestion. Or better yet, immediately following a meat meal, give them the green from the Great Stuff for Dogs. And was there any last piece of advice you might want to give as far as keeping your animal healthy and helping it to extend its life before we get into the products themselves?
Actually, I think we've pretty much covered our agenda.
Fantastic. Well, what I would like to do then is actually talk about the products themselves as briefly as possible, because I know that we are trying to keep this call from going on too long. At the same time, I want to give the philosophy behind each product. You see, what we have tried to do is examine the deficiencies that are created by the modern diet for each of these animals. And what we have done, it started with horses. And we created these horses formulas for horses that were getting colic, horses that were having developmental problems, horses that were having to be even put down because of their difficulty with digestion and cramping and injuries. And the result was nothing short of miraculous. I mean, the people who had these horses that were using them, I remember there was one 12-year-old horse that was totally retired and became a barrel champion at the age of 13 and won ribbons, like blue ribbons, for a few years to come, you know, 5 years after most barrel horses are retired. But my favorite story about horses is when I was in Sweden, and we call it the Swedish house horse. There was a 22-year-old horse that had lost its teeth, much like the monkeys in the Japanese study, and the veterinarian said that it was dying of malnutrition and should be put down. And they asked me for advice, and I recommended Great Stuff for Horses. Well, the horse, I was asked, by the way, to spend the night at this old 200, 300-year-old house where the horse was living, because I saved the horse's life, right? And so this old horse had since sired two foals, which means it was the father to two baby horses, after it was told that it should be put down and laid to rest. But when I was there sleeping on the couch downstairs, I heard a really big noise at 5:30 in the morning at the back door. It sounded like a very clumsy person stumbling into the door. Suddenly, the handle, which was a lift and push handle, lifted up and pushed, and what did I see? Was a horse. The horse came in, gave me a little glance, walked over, pushed its nose against the cabinet, which caused the cabinet to bounce and come backwards, opened up the cabinet, took its nose, knocked the great stuff for horses onto the ground, and began to stomp on the ground. I was scared. I'm serious. Horses are big. I'm laying down. There's this huge animal over me stomping, right? And I'm amazed, and I believe that I'm hallucinating at this point. I'm wondering just what was in
the dinner.
Before, okay, do I have food poisoning, or you know, did something worse happen? So the bottom line is that with a horse was impatient, climbed the stairs, and woke up Hinky, and Hinky came down and said, you know, I did that on purpose because I didn't think you would believe it. If I'm not down here at 5:30, this happens every morning.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
So, and I know that took way too long, but you know the story is true because you saw the video.
Uh-huh.
And because I had my video camera there, thank God, because nobody would believe me otherwise. And I will find this video. It is like among the lost archives. But I know that many people enough saw the video to know that it's true. So, but that is a great story. We don't really have, you know, we don't have great stories about cats, but what we do have is incredibly dedicated cat lovers. Because, I mean, our orders for great stuff for cats, I mean, some people order, you know, 10, 12, 16 bottles, right?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
So we haven't had anybody call us and go, oh, my cats are so healthy because of the great stuff for cats. But I say that if they continue to buy it in larger and larger amounts, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have several success stories with dogs.
Oh, my God, do we?
Definitely. Well, I know my dog, Maggie, when she was, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old, she had some little, like, tumors developing on her skin. We noticed just little bumps under her fur, and then we started giving her the great stuff for dogs.
Well, can we back up? Because you took her to the vet, and the vet wanted tons of money and a bunch of surgeries. To remove them, remember?
Exactly. And so he thought, well, we just want to watch it and see what happens here. And we started giving her the great stuff for dogs, along with chlorella, human, you know, regular chlorella.
The stuff we take, yeah.
That we take, yeah. And after a couple of weeks, all of a sudden, I noticed, I was playing with her, and I noticed that where one of the largest tumors was, it was a little bit raw looking. And so I kind of looked a little deeper, and by me pressing in that area, the tumor expelled itself. The skin was opening up, and the tumor was coming out. The tumor popped out, and she has since to have any additional tumors show up on her body.
And when you took her back to the veterinarian, the one who wanted, you know, like literally thousands of dollars, right? He goes, oh, that was just spontaneous, I'm sure.
Right.
You know, we were all excited. You were all excited, I remember. And you're like, this is great. You know, we like, the vet's going to like think this is great. But he says, oh, yeah, that happens. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Then why didn't he say, why don't you wait for him to go away?
Right, exactly. Versus spend all this money having them surgically removed.
But
now
remember,
we had,
my favorite story was Colta. She was already 22 years old. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And she had a tumor the size. Would you say a softball, or a football?
A softball. It was very big, or a grapefruit. It was very.
The grapefruit
large.
Would be better. Yeah, I think a grapefruit. And then same regimen. And grapefruit turned into a softball, softball turned into a baseball turned into a golf ball turned into a pea, and pea expelled. And why do they always eat them at the end?
I don't know. That's gross. But
they lick them
and
lick them and lick them at the last part, and they get it out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the great part. Afterwards, the skin grows back, and the hair grows back, and the hair grows back darker than before. So one of the girls who worked for us heard this story, and her dog developed this big old tumor, and she took a picture of it, and then the vet told her not to worry about it, and then it kept growing and growing, and so she did the same thing. She did the exact same thing with her dog, and literally within weeks, within a week, but this was a younger dog. It was only 3 or 4 years old. Within a week, that thing that was the size of, a quarter, became, you know, a nickel, became a dime, became a pea, And the same thing, her dog licked it and ate the last residue of it, and it was gone. And then it has this super dark patch of hair, dark red hair, where it had been. And we know that tumors love to eat protein, so the hair stops growing wherever the tumor was.
Right.
And so I know that I get really excited about this, but let's remind people that was a combination of change in diet, some of the things that we said, the chlorella, and the great stuff for dogs. It wasn't just a single thing that caused that dramatic effect.
Exactly, definitely. We gave, gave Maggie and Colta, you know, the modified raw eggs, you know.
Raw egg, raw meat. No grains.
Along with the chlorella and the great stuff for dogs. And what's interesting is it seems like the animal, like, has an instinct, or I'm sure that they do have an instinct of how much they need to take, because I would just put tablets out on the ground for my dog Maggie.
Oh my God, you're right.
And she would sometimes, like in the beginning, she might eat 20, 30 tablets, and then as she started to get better, or the tumor started to shrink, she may only eat 5 or 10, even though I laid out 40 for her.
And then when it was gone, she refused to eat them.
Exactly.
A month.
Yeah, she didn't want to eat them anymore. And even now, to this day, she only eats 3 or 4 at a time, versus when this was first starting, she would literally eat 22 or 3 times a day.
Well, Eric's got a 20-year-old dog with huge tumors, 12 tumors the size of baseballs all over its body.
Oh.
And it's the same thing. Like, it they didn't believe it, wouldn't eat. It smelled the chlorella, wasn't interested. I said, okay. I crushed it and I put it on the dog's tongue. Okay, it started eating them. Now they say that it eats till, you know, to tolerance, and they've noticed that the tumors are really hard. They're getting really soft. I said that was the first thing that we noticed too.
Exactly. It's like the body, it begins to digest the tumor as it shrinks the tumor.
And let's take this time to remind people, Amy and I, we want to make sure you don't think that we think we're veterinarians, or we think we're doctors, or we think we could cure anything. We totally know we can't, but what we do know is that we could aid, assist, and support the body. And just like the the veterinarian said, there's, you know, the body can spontaneously get rid of these tumors, dissolve these tumors. The question is, what's the difference when they do and when they don't?
And it's having the proper nutritional support. It's having the proper nutrients in the body to feed those immune processes that are naturally built in. And that's the same with humans as it is with animals.
Now, Amy, it would take an entire hour to explain the myriad of ingredients and why we chose them and how they were combined and what each one of them do. And I know that we will not have time for that this evening. So what I want to tell everybody is that, we forgot to tell you, is that we have a special that we have associated with the products, because we're so interested in having you start to use them. And I want Amy to tell you about that, in just one moment. But secondly, we also have things called fact sheets that we have for each of these products. Is that correct?
Right.
And those fact sheets will tell you the ingredients, why we have them, some of these details we shared with you tonight, and you could use it and you could learn all about these products, and including the ingredients and why they were selected. And I think that they're really detailed, and I think it's awesome that we have them available for these pet lovers and for these animal lovers and for, you know, the people who really want to know, as we should want to know, exactly what is in the product. But more importantly, with our special that we have, and I want you to let them know about that, you could and should immediately begin to integrate these products into your pet's lives, and we're making it easier than ever to do that tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. For the rest of the month of March, going through the month of April, we have a special on the Great Stuff for Dogs and the Great Stuff for Cats. It's either or. It's buy 2 bottles of one and get a 3rd bottle for free. So you can stock up, because we do recommend you dose the product by weight, but it's an amazing treat for the animals. You can give it to them instead of giving them bagging strips or snossages or those kind of treats that we typically see on the grocery store shelves that are full of junk, that aren't going to do anything to help prolong the life. fan of our dogs, and substitute that with this, with this great stuff for cats or great stuff for dogs tablets, which they do love. They're crunchy little tablets that they can crunch up just like a treat. And again, through the rest of the month of March and through April, you can buy two bottles and get a third one for free.
Now, here is what, remember, for cats, which are sort of finicky, if the very first time you give a cat these, you put a little bit of the salmon oil, you know, the salmon grease on them, they will love them forever because they'll always associate that smell with the taste of that salmon oil because they have a little bit of a fishy taste anyway. Now, for the dogs, all you have to do is get one into their mouth and broken up, and they'll love them. So I think that what we recommend is you get something they already love, something soft, like let's say a small bit of egg, a small piece of egg about the size of a marble. You put one of those tablets inside of that, and once they chew it, then after that they'll be associated with the taste. So you've got to integrate them to the taste. With the horses, it's over with. The minute you open it up, they will, like, knock you down.
They smell it. They love it. They want it.
Yeah, the horses, it's over with. Like I said, I've never seen a horse be snobby about this stuff. It becomes their favorite treat. So as Amy said, you know, treat them with something that really makes them healthy, as opposed to, you know, you don't give your kid ice cream as a treat every day, but you could give these as a treat every day to your dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they're really inexpensive, aren't they? I mean, I know we want to go, but, I mean, we're talking about, you know.
Suggested retail is $16 for a bottle of 240 tablets. So you're buying two, getting one free. You're paying $32
for
240 times three for 720 tablets. So that's going to last even a large dog a while.
$10 a bottle.
Exactly. I'm sorry?
That's like $10 a bottle, $10.63 a bottle.
Exactly, and that's the suggested retail price. So it's a very, very good value for what you, especially for what you are providing, the nutrients that you're providing to your dog.
Absolutely, and again, all I could tell you is that these are phenomenal products. They are products that, you know, let's face it, I mean, if you could add 1 year of life to your animal, much less 5 or 6 or 7, if you could save them from suffering from even 1 day, much less months or years, you know that you would do it. This is the way to do it, and I mean, there's just no excuse not to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, we love our pets just like we love our children and or our spouses, and we definitely want to keep them in the best condition that we can. And think about it, when you buy the begging strips and sausages and all those treats at the store, they're not cheap.
No, they're really expensive.
They're really not, and they actually could be contributing to degenerative, I can't say that word. I'm sorry, diseases in your pets. So just think about shifting your dollars
The ingredients, and I don't want to be sued, because if I sat and read the list of ingredients and told you what I thought of all those preservatives and coloring agents and all of that texturized, all of that stuff that we know makes us sick, it's in there.
Exactly. So so do something, you know, we all know we need to take care of our own bodies. We need to take care of our animals as well. I also wanted to mention just really quickly, I had another testimonial. I spoke with a gentleman who had an older German Shepherd, and German Shepherds are, you know, everybody knows they're large breed dogs. And
They die young,
and they get, I think, is it called hip dysplasia?
Yep.
Where their joints break down. And he started giving the dog Joint Flex because he had been taking Joint Flex for knee problems himself and thought he would give a try with his German Shepherd. And it had phenomenal results. So,
well, guess what? The number one recommendation for the number one product selling, and on a certain, I won't say the chain, but you know, we make it for the company. It's tart cherry tablets for dogs.
Right. Absolutely.
So add a little tart cherry to the dog's food. They'll love it.
For the anti-inflammatory properties. Right. Yep. Again, for the joint problems. Yep.
So tart cherry. You know, Joint Flex, chlorella, in addition to You know,
great.
And of course we all know that Eric's famous on TV now for feeding his dog the power shake.
The power shake. Exactly, exactly. I've even known pet owners to give their dog, if they suspect it is very toxic, the fulvic zeolite to detoxify as well.
That is a great idea because of all the dioxins in the grass chemicals. Well, Amy, we've hit our 45-minute max, and so I want to say thank you for all of your, information tonight. I think it was very well received. I think that, people know a little bit more about the potential lifespan of their animals. They know some mistakes that they need to avoid and some homemade meals that they could make as well that their dogs are just going to absolutely love. And so with that, for all of you out there, let's do something for our animals that isn't just, we're willing to give them a belly rub, we're willing to take them for a walk, we're willing to do just about anything for them. Let's add a few years to their life.
Absolutely.
I think that that's the best thing ever.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dave, for all your information. We definitely appreciate it, and we will be back with you next week. And if you give me 1 second, I don't have the calendar in front of me, but next week will be how to talk to your doctor about health and nutrition, which is an awesome call that it's actually going to be a pre-recorded call, but we encourage everyone to listen to that call. So please tune in with us next Wednesday night to listen to David speak about how to talk to your doctor about nutrition.
And that, again, one of the most important calls. It's one that I want you to recommend that everybody listen to, and it's a subject that is close to our hearts because, again, if we could retrain the doctors, if we could educate them, if we could make them our partners, then that is way better than the adversarial position that a lot of nutrition companies take with doctors. I think doctors can and should be our friends. Yes, they have some shortcomings. Yes, they at times seem ignorant compared to the knowledge that you have. But you know what? They're the ones who are licensed in this country. And if we don't educate them, if we don't bring them over to our side, then they'll continue to go after us. And it's better to make friends than enemies. It's better to build bridges than to dig chasms. And I say that we're the company that could do it because we have products that really work. We have products that are very complementary to all of the goals of medicine, which is to make people healthy. We just want to do it without the medicine. And I think that sooner than later, the doctors are realizing it, and they're going to want companies they could trust. We're a company that you could trust, which means we're a company they could trust. So let's go ahead. Let's take on that challenge. Let's tell them, be our partner. Let's educate them. And next week, we're going to tell you how to do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Dave, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. And everyone have a wonderful rest of the week. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everybody. God bless.